I have three testimonies this morning. I'll come to you. Let's share how you see God has blessed you in some way, how you've been amazed by Him in some way. Okay? It might be through a person, how God has blessed you. It might be through something that God gave you in your heart, a reading of Scripture. It might be something of nature or creation you saw that made your heart look up. What is it? Here we go. Who's first? Yes, sir.
Well, some of you may know the story of my daughter and the struggles I've had with her. A couple of weeks ago, well, she has moved to Maine, so I don't get to see her very often. But a couple of weeks ago, she ended up getting married to a guy that came out here, and we got to visit, and I got to meet him. And it seems like God is really blessing their life. And in that marriage, I got to accumulate three more grandchildren. So I'm up to like 17, if anybody can top that. And I got, yesterday, I actually got to see videos of them and interact electronically with them, which was a huge blessing.
Amen. God blessed you. Amen. All right. Someone else.
My name's Harry McCormick. I'd like to just thank the Lord for, there's so many things he has done. I can't nail one right down, but just be thankful that I do get the blessings of mercy and patience, so thank you.
Amen. That was good. One more.
This morning, heading to church, I was feeling a little burdened, and I'm kind of schlepping along with my head down. And God spoke to me and said, look up. So crazy. And then I come here, and you're, you know, talking about looking up. And I did. I kind of slowed down, looked up a little bit, and looked at the trees, and the birds flying around and smell that fresh air, and I just felt better. But I was just kind of looking at the sidewalk and walking along and, you know, kind of feeling burdened. So it was weird. It was a weird in a good way.
God's great about
good weird, isn't he? God is good all the time and all the time. Amen. Oops, I didn't want to put that away yet. I need Gary and Bobby Groves to come forward, please. And they're thrilled to be coming forward. I just want you to know that. Yeah, give them a hand. They bet. Gary and Bobby have been coming for, I don't know, a while now, and they have a heart for serving. They want to be able to give in some way. And so Bobby and I, we've been talking for the last month or so about how can she bless others. And Bobby loves to be able to write encouragement and give it to people. And she says, but I don't know a lot of people because I'm still kind of new here. And I said, well, I can help you with that. She said, I'd like to do a card ministry, but what about people who get in a card and they don't know who this is? And I said, I can solve that problem. So if you get a card from Bobby Groves, this is her. Yeah. Would you like to say anything? Yes, visitation. So she will be also be interested in coming to see you and encourage you because she has a mama's heart. Yeah. So Bobby, just say, I love you.
I love you.
Because she does.
Yeah, I do.
God gave her a heart to bless. And so that's Bobby Groves. Gary, come on over here. Gary's thrilled to be up here too. So Gary came to me a few weeks ago and he said, hey, the Super Bowl's coming up. We guys need to get together. And I said, yeah, man. And let's watch Super Bowl together. You know, we'll do guy things, guy food. We're going to do guy food. All right? And so, ladies, we're going to do guy food. So, am I turning red? So we're going to meet at Judy Weidert's house. Judy won't be there, but she gave me a key and said, this house is the Lord's house. Use it for his glory. And so we're going to meet February 4th. I actually looked it up on the internet to see what time it was. It said 3:30 February 5th. No, I don't think so. So if you can, meet at 3 o'clock, Judy Weidert's home on Lincoln Street, the end of West Lincoln. And but we ask you to sign up. And Gary's the sign-up guy. And so you go see Gary, sign up your name, your phone number, and let's get ready for Super Bowl. Who's going to win?
Patriots.
All the Patriot people sit over here.
Both of you.
Oh, both of you. Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir. Trombone player.
Kind of.
All right. Let's thank God for Gary and Bobby. Yeah. Okay. Have you been up here long enough, guys? Are you ready to go? Okay. God bless you. Next Sunday, John G. John G. I'm not sure you've met John G. His name is John Gilsdorf. He's our youth guy. He's going to be preaching next Sunday. Kayla and I are going down to somebody's special wedding, Tammy Weidert, in Portland, and we'll be there a couple days. And John said, I'd love to preach, and I said, I got the spot for you. And so he'll be here next Sunday to preach the Word of God. And so come here and encourage him as he encourages you in the Word of God. This morning is a special day in my heart, in the elder's heart. I hope it is in your heart, because today is the culmination of a month's worth of praying and fasting, a time of seeking God's face, looking up, and asking God, what would you have us think about? What would you have us know and be and do in 2018? And then last Sunday, you all come together with all of us, and we put down our responses. We wrote them down, turned them in. I took that to the staff on Thursday, and we looked it over, prayed over it. We had some responses of ourselves. And then Friday and Saturday, we elders went up on the mountain and prayed over these, sought out God's continued clarification for us. And today you're going to hear what God has given, not just the elders, but what he's given all of us, because you're going to be amazed at the responses. I'll just give you a quick peek, is that we were amazed at how all the responses really funneled down into the areas that we're presenting today. Everything was connected. Is that any surprise? No, it's not. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So today, elders are going to come. Chris Williams first, come on up, and he's going to share the theme and the vision.
You know, I think it's pretty amazing that we're really just saying back to you what you guys have heard from God. And I think that's why there's so much similarity and there's so much unity in the responses. Yeah. And when we looked at everything as a whole, there was sort of a theme that emerged. And the theme really is love demonstrated. And, you know, love is powerful. You know, we talk about love, we sing about love. When we express love to other people, it can encourage them, it can lift them up, it can help them push on through tough circumstances. And, you know, really, love is the reason that Jesus came. You know, our Creator did not want to be separated from us any longer. And I have a verse to share that really expressed this well. It's Romans 5:8. And it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so with that overarching theme, it became clear that there were three sort of focus areas that you all expressed to us. And three areas that we can focus our efforts, our energy, our ministry, and be part of what we feel God wants to do in the next period of time. And the first one is family, connections with family. And this was an emphasis not just to build up our own church family, which is important, but also to be out in the community and impact the families in our community. You know, family is sort of the core structure that God gave us. You know, it's an example of really how the church should function, you know, with the more mature members helping the younger ones grow up into that example. And that's really, we can be out in the community because there, you all know that just like inside the church, there's a lot of hurts out there, a lot of people that have needs, a lot of people that haven't experienced good families, you know, don't have the example to follow. And we can be the walk beside, the encouragers, the strengtheners, the ones out there that want to have fun. So there's a lot of opportunities. The second area that really emerged from your input was connections with youth. You know, when we look at youth, they're our future. You know, they're the future leaders of not only our church, our community, our country. And so when we look at creating an atmosphere for our youth to experience a relationship with God, what's that going to take? You know, how do we help them learn to serve and love and grow? And so that's the second area of focus. And the third is connecting with our community. And that can be through personal touches. We've seen groups go out and knock on doors and share fruit and prayer. We had the trunk or treat last fall where we had an opportunity to interact with community. There's opportunities, they just abound, to go out and be part of our community and to show them that what God's love looks like in action, that being in Christ is fun, that there's joy, and that we want to be part of them. And I think John Gilsdorf said it well during the staff meeting. Delbert passed on his sort of vision, was ACC, our family helping yours. And I think that's a great connecting point. And so we as elders would like to share personally for each of us what this theme of demonstrating love means. And so I ask the rest of the elders to come up and share.
Well, I'll get us started here. First, I want to say, I have over the last several months, I've been kind of being a spiritual brat, and these guys, they're awesome. And this last 2 days was just amazing for me. A lot of highs and lows for me this weekend, but it was just awesome. And these are the toughest and most courageous men I know right here, and I'm just proud to be a member of this group right here. I want to share a little scripture about this. It's kind of funny. I picked a scripture this morning, but I didn't read the heading on it. It's Isaiah 61, and the heading on the top of the scripture says, "The year of the Lord's favor." How about that, ACC? And so this is, to me, this is love demonstrated. You know, we have Romans 5:8, which talks about how Christ demonstrated his love towards us. But what is love demonstrated for ACC in the community in Vision 2018? It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called, this is us, oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. An oak by itself is very strong and mighty, but we are a grove of oak trees, mighty and strong for his splendor. So what this means to me, what does this say to me? Just every day we are surrounded by people that may have needs, may have hurts, may have vulnerabilities, and just the slightest thing that we can do as God's children can bring encouragement. And everything that we've mentioned here is all community, really. This isn't ACC-centered. This is Christ-centered. This is love-centered. This is us going to them. And so that's what this says to me.
One of the things that Bob Johns mentioned up on the mountain was love is an action word. And that's, I guess when it really boils down to it, that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We can all talk about love. We can all write about love. We can all read about love. But if we don't put action to it, it's just lip service. It's just words. A couple of scriptures that I looked at in Mark 12, Jesus says the two greatest commandments is to love your God and to love your neighbor. And I was thinking about that. That's really true. If we get out and join people, show them love by investing time in them, you really can't give anybody anything better than that. And then the best love scripture to me is John 15:13, of course. The greatest love you can have is for your friends is to give your life for them. And I thought about that, and you know, it's easy. We look at that as Jesus came down and gave his life for us. You know, he died for us. But, you know, there's a whole lot more that Jesus did before he died for us, before he actually gave the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. He was at the right hand of God, and he gave up that life. He inconvenienced himself and came down here. Now, it's easy for me, and this is the way I've looked at it in the past, that I could die for anybody. I could actually stand up and die for anybody, but that would only be one time in my life. So I could sit back and say, well, I'd die for you, and I could rest on that. But what this is really saying to me now, the more I look at it, is am I willing to inconvenience my life? Am I willing to get out of myself and give to somebody else? That's love demonstrated. When you put down your desires and your plans to help somebody else in a time of need, or to just go join somebody just to be with them. That's love demonstrated.
When I think about what love demonstrated means for me, I think it starts right here in our church. And one of the greatest strengths of the church, which in case you're wondering, is not the building, it's the people, is that we all come with different abilities. We all come with different interests, different personalities. But we choose to assemble together, to worship together, to serve together, to work together. And that gives us great strength. And one, that's not one of my favorites. My very favorite verse, I got one, is Ephesians 4:15-16. And it says, instead we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And it's when we utilize those gifts, those abilities, those personalities, those talents that God put into us, and we take those outside into our community, that's when we start demonstrating love to our community. And I think from the responses that you guys gave us, you all are ready to demonstrate love to your community. The writer of Hebrews says this in 13:16, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And that verse really struck me because one of the things that God spoke to me during the time of prayer and fast was sacrifice. What things am I willing to give up for the kingdom? What conveniences? What treasures? What about the way I like to do church? What things am I willing to sacrifice to get out of the way for what God wants to do? And so I'm excited to see what God shows us in demonstrating his love.
You're looking kind of serious out here. This is to be fun, amen? Are you ready to go? Yeah, I love it. Well, I'll give you three things that the Lord shared me on the mountain. Be bold and strong. Focus your eyes in the heavenlies, and I will tear down the strongholds. My heart, as you know, is for the community. Now, community means you and what's outside these walls. Now, Christ came not to be served, but to serve others. Christ said, I came to seek and save the lost. And my heart in all this love demonstrated, according to what we've agreed to, is to share my heart in a way that I encourage you that within this community, we reach out and we touch lives in so many different ways. And there's so many opportunities here for everyone in this room here today and many more to go and experience God's love and especially his faithfulness. And what I have seen in this community, there are hearts that want to be touched. They want to know, do you care about me? Do you want to really know where I am in my life? And that's where my heart is in all this. And so I'm excited to see what God wants to do for ACC as well as for this community and see change and see doing it a different way and look for the future and look at the visions and look what God's got to do. Amen, Gabriel? I figured he might come through. So I love you guys, and I want you to know everyone in this room is important to me as what's outside these walls. You know this. I call you. I try to share. I try to connect with you, and you're important to me. Thank you.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's praise God.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, it's a devotion time. So we want you to know a couple things. One is that each of you, as we shared a sermon here several months back about organic ministry, how God uses you in the way he wired you, you know, if you're a behind the scenes, quieter person or up front, louder person, like me. You know, you like connections and be with people. Kayla and I are so different, you know. 2 weeks without really doing a lot of people is good for her. 2 hours without people is all I can handle. And it's funny how opposites attract, isn't it? You know, we're good for each other. But when you think about God using you in service, in ministry, in any way, let him use you in how he wired you. Okay, you don't think you have to be like Bob or Delbert or Gabriel or Kayla or anyone else. You be you, and let God use you. So I wanted to share with you today. Take out in your bulletin. There's a green piece of paper and a white half sheet of paper. Take those out. First thing I wanted to do was I tried to anticipate some questions you might have about Vision 18. And so let's run through those real quickly. Question one, what if I desire to be involved in one of these three areas but am already serving in another ministry? Well, the answer is let's spend some time talking about that. If you really feel called to one of these ministries, God has really put that on your heart, we need to release you to do that because that's where God's calling you. Okay, so don't think, oh, I'm already here and I don't have enough time for that too. And I guess I'll just, no, we need to talk about that. How are we going to make this happen? All right, adjustments. All right, so the answer really is adjustments. We're going to be working on adjustments throughout this whole year on increasing and improving what we do here. Second question, how will the focus of these areas impact current ministries? Again, current ministries are going to continue as they are now, but we will need to evaluate and maybe make some adjustments, and that's part of this whole thing. Following God means making some adjustments, does it not? Yes, it does. It does too, Paul. And a third question, what will each ministry look like? Our goal for the month of February is to start forming teams of you who say, I want to be involved in community or youth or family, and putting teams together, and then the teams build and develop what the ministry looks like. God has given you great creativity and energy and put it into it. Now, remember, these are living ministries, meaning that once we kind of decide this is what it looks like, it might change a little bit. Go, oh, here's a new need. We didn't think about that. Let's see if we can wrap something around that new need and just be living and focusing, adjusting as we go. Okay, so for 2018, we're not thinking about this is for this 3 months. We're going to, no, for this whole year and probably beyond, yes? And keep going and building. And so how is the ministry going to look? You will decide that. Okay? The elders have said that they want to be walk-besiders with each team, not directors, not tell you what to do, but just guides. If you have a question, what do the elders think about this question or that thing? That's why we're here for you. Okay? And finally, what's our next step? What is our next step? Well, let's work and pray together for the month of February to put together our teams. That's our next step, putting together teams. That's what the green page is about. So for the month of February, we're going to have these green pages in your bulletins. All right? You don't have to decide today. And in fact, I would encourage you not to decide today unless you are just so gung-ho, I'm in on that area over there. All right, that's great. But take some time to pray. And let God continue to give you any more information, any more insights, any more of himself to serve in one of these areas, okay? And in reality, brothers and sisters, the ministries you're doing now probably fits in one of these three areas in some way or form, okay? But if you need to make a move, we want to help you make that move into one of these areas here. So we're going to spend the month of February assembling teams, praying, and then in March, we're going to start building what ministry looks like, okay? Let's bathe all this in prayer, shall we? I want to close today with a short devotion. Romans chapter 5, turn in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. If you don't have a Bible at home, take that Bible home. It's your gift from us to you. Romans chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 5. This is our theme verse this year, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Paul says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, ever felt powerless? When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That was me. Powerless, hopeless of ever getting out of where I was. And ungodly. Ungodly thinking, ungodly behavior. That was me. So you see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. And now verse 8. But God. I got a pastor friend who said one time in a sermon, I love buts. B-U-T. But, verse 8, God demonstrated his love for you in this, that while you were still sinners, while you were still cursing his name, while you were still doing it your way, while you were still trying to figure out how to do marriage or family or grandkids or finances or empty nest or death isn't far away from me. When you're trying to figure that out and the only thing you can see is dark, no hope, no answers, Christ died for you for that moment, that place. Wow. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Verse 6 and 7, contrast. There's a contrast. Remember the good person and the righteous person? Though a righteous person may not have anyone want to die for him, but a good person might have, just possibly, little insy-beatsy teeny-weeny chance that somebody might just dare to die for the good guy. Okay, what Paul is doing here, he's not contrasting the righteous guy against the good guy. It's not between the righteous guy and the good guy in verse 7, but it is comparing the righteous and the good guy. They're the same people. He's not describing two different people, the righteous and the good. He's comparing between the righteous and the good guy with the guy in verse 6 who's weak and powerless and ungodly and without hope. That's what he's contrasting between. The weak man, woman, or child is who Jesus died for. The righteous man doesn't need someone to die for him. He's already hooked in with Jesus. Same with the good man, describing the same kind of guy. But in verse 8, when Jesus died for the weak and the ungodly, when would that be? How would you describe when that was? Well, in Galatians 4:4, just a little quick little sidelight, Galatians 4:4, Paul said that at the right time Jesus died, and the right time was when roads all around Palestine, up north, Europe, down south, Egypt, all the roadways were built, easy travel, when there was a common language called the Koine, or common Greek of the day, of Jesus' day, that travel and that language that was common to everybody all around that area, they could understand the gospel. The news could travel quickly and safely. The Romans were in control, and they patrolled the streets, if you will, the roads, to keep robbers from robbing people. And so travel was quick and safe, and the language was common and could be spread quickly. That's when the right time was to all the world. But I want to ask you this. When was your right time? When was your right time? Do you remember when you said yes to Jesus? Perhaps you're here today and said, I've never really given a full yes to my Jesus. When is the right time for you? When were you at your worst? When you were hopeless to do anything permanent about it? Words that Scripture define as weak and ungodly, powerless, ungodly, sinners, enemies of God, without hope, in darkness, shall I go on? So, which seems more difficult to you? To bring you from hopeless sinner to a saved soul, or to bring you from a saved soul on earth to heaven? Which one seems more difficult? If you had to do it, which one would be more difficult? God, for me, the answer is the first one. To bring me, Delbert Durfee, at 20 years old, have lived life completely for himself, destroyed a few lives on the way. My time was when my heart was grieving so bad, I thought death was better than life. And I scared myself. But it hurt so bad. And God came to me at my time to show me hope. How did he do that? Some words on a page, some of that, yes. You know what it was mostly? I decided to go back to the church of my, or the God of my childhood. What little bit I understood about God was good. I'm going to go back there. When is your time? When is your time? But at the right time, verse 8 says. You know what? Any time is the right time. Everybody say hallelujah. Yeah, any time is the right time in your life to come to the cross. It's not too late. Proof of unending love. Volunteers, come on up. Proof of unending love. It's right here. I need one of you guys to hold the cross. So just stand right behind it. Okay, got it. The rest of you, stand, two of you here and two of you here. Okay, come over here. And kind of stand as a little bit further out here, kind of like you're at a wedding. Yeah, there you go. Okay. And the proof that God has not given up on you, proof that he's still calling you home, is the cross. Okay. Now let's pretend these four people have some problems that really feel dark and hard. And okay, I know they don't, but let's go ahead and now you guys come around and look at the cross. All right. Now turn around and look at the audience. Okay, see, everybody can see? All right. They are wondering if God loves them because they're not sure. Oh, they know the cross. It's been there. They responded to the cross at one point in their life when the time was right. But now life has hit them. And it hurts and it's hard. God, where are you? You've been there? And you know what the answer is to their question? It's you reminding them to turn around. So tell them, turn around. There's your answer, guys. There's your answer that God still loves you, that the time is right again. It's again. The time is right again. Say that with me. The time is right again. You see, when you first accept Christ as your Savior, that was the right time then. And darkness hits. Hard things happen. And we kind of forget God is there. And then we have to say it's the right time again. Hallelujah. Help me out here. Come on. The right time is now again. I'm amazed by you. Sing it with me. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How much you love me. Sing it again. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How much you love me. Stand up now, come on. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How much you love me. Okay, you four looking at the cross, turn around. And you say to them, turn around. Turn around. Everybody, today, let's turn around, shall we? Have you ever thought God gave you an assignment that's too much, too big, too hard, too scary? I have. It's called tomorrow. And the next day. Oh, God loves you. He's with you. He'll never abandon you. The cross is proof. Say that with me. The cross is proof. Now put some emphasis on the word proof. The cross is proof. Yeah. That he still is with you. You may wonder, God, where are you? And in this year of Vision 18, God's given us some assignments for us. For you, it might be a really big one. It's personal to you. But he's here to say, turn around. Turn around. Oh my goodness, we got to stop. I don't want to. We can sing it. I had another song chosen for this, but let's sing I'm Amazed again. Can we do that? I'm amazed by you. You know what? God has given us stuff. There's that word again, stuff. He's given us hearts for others. The person next to you. The person next door. People in Africa. All around the world. Let's be amazed, because being amazed energizes. Being amazed refocuses. Being amazed helps us to turn around again. Come across the aisle, would you? Just hang on to a hand. If you're comfortable, I'm not saying you don't have to, but if you're comfortable, just grab a hand next to you.